Truth.
Welcome to Trusting the Truth with Samuel Tolley, where we view the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. We do not view Jesus Christ through the lens of the world. How you doing? This is Sam Tolley, Trusting the Truth. Today, vote Kamala Harris. No, there's this big push to get black men to vote Kamala Harris. I think the Democrats are seeing a lack in the dedication of black men to come forth, and they're pushing out all kinds of efforts. You know, I'm sure you've heard of Trump derangement syndrome. This is not a new phenomenon. It's been going on for a while, but I just experienced some Trump derangement syndrome here recently because of a short 1.5 minute video that I put out. And I want to share this video with you, so you can see firsthand what triggered this person.
The bullet should not have missed. I hear so many people say that. Most people that have an aversion to Trump, they have an aversion for him, not because they've come to those conclusions on their own. They have an aversion for him because they've been programmed to hate him. They can't even think for themselves anymore. You do have people that listen to Trump and don't like his rough edges. He's abrasive when he talks a lot of times. His tweets can be mean. I get something that can be off-putting. It is for me. Like, it's off-putting for, like, dude, you're your own worst enemy. You don't need to, why are you doing that? But at the end of the day, this is a binary option. And he may not be the hero you want, but he's the hero we need. When somebody's trying to pull you in the lifeboat, do you really care about the rough edges? There is only one candidate up there who cares about protecting the borders of this country. There is only one candidate that cares about making the economy great. There's only one candidate up there who's pro-life. There's only one candidate up there who's trying to stop World War III from happening. That guy up there is fighting for every single one of his Americans, even the ones that aren't voting for him, even the ones that hate him. They don't realize it because they're listening to the mainstream media. They're just in their, like, zombie apocalypse. Like, I'm a zombie, you know? But we as a country really have to wake up, and we got to start doing some soul searching. I can't get my mind around these people who think they're better than Trump. Do you not have issues in your past? Have you not made mistakes in your past? Have you not said things you regretted? Or have you not said things you shouldn't have said? Every one of us is messy, but there's only one guy up there who really is trying to do what's right. The fact that there have been 2 assassination attempts on him, that's an endorsement for that guy. We need all hands on deck right now. Get out, go vote, and don't let your feelings get in the way of doing the right thing.
So I posted this video recently. And it's amazing when you run into these people that are against Trump, especially these black folks that are just completely sold out to the Democrat Party no matter what. Like this gentleman was talking about, there's only one candidate that's for keeping the border safe. There's only one candidate that's pro-life. These things are fundamental to just a normal society, a normal country. But we're not dealing with normal times, and we're dealing with a society of people that don't think. When I say they don't think, they've been programmed not to think. They've been programmed to just go along with what the media tells them, or how society in general that's run through the culture of Hollywood tells them to act. I'm going to share with you exactly what this person said. I'm not going to put this person's name up here because this was my only interaction with this fellow. I'll just call him BC. Now let's look at this and let's talk about it for a second. Okay. Let's see here. All right. So here is the documentation with BC. BC says, now what makes you think that Trump, who don't see you looking any different than the Haitian or brown skin immigrant, will pull you into his lifeboat Mr. Black Man. One of the things I've talked about the two gods of the Democrat Party. There is the Democrat God, and there is the God of Blackness. And the God of Blackness is subservient to the Democrat God. You know, if you're a Black person, you're a Democrat, you worship, more than likely, whether you know it or not, you worship two gods. You worship that God of Blackness, and then also you worship that Democrat God. But that Democrat God supersedes the God of Blackness. So when this guy said that, or he wrote that, he completely ignored the fact that Trump had been in office for 4 years. This is what all these Democrats do during this election cycle. It amazes me. They act like there's no history. It's like, this is the first time we're wondering about whether he can do anything or not, or whether he's going to do anything or not. We're not looking at what he did in the past. We will get to what he did in the past. Nor are they looking at the fact that Kamala has been there for almost 4 years. And Joe, his own self, has said that she's been a part of every decision he made. Matter of fact, I recently released a video where she was asked on The View, and I would assume you've seen that, whether mine or someone else's, because it's been all over the internet. She was asked on The View if there's something she would do differently. And she said, no, she can't think of anything. And she also acknowledged that she's been a part of everything. She's been a part of the Afghan withdrawal. They got 13 of our service people killed and people hanging on planes and falling out of the air because they were trying to escape the Taliban. And we still, to the best of my knowledge, have Americans that were left in Afghanistan. She was, you know, in the Senate, you have 100 senators. And at that time, I believe we had 50 in the Democrat and 50 in the Republican. And the president of the Senate is the vice president. So the vote came up in this so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which all it did was increase inflation. She was a tie-splitting vote to make that thing go through. And then that's Inflation and Reduction Act. It didn't stop inflation. You remember they were spending all these billions of dollars for these electrical charging stations. Last count, I understand they got $8 billion of dollars. And, you know, you would read about people getting stranded trying to find a place to charge their vehicle. And during inclement weather where it's real, real cold or hot, your battery charging capacity is reduced. Anyway, the electric car things is nonsense. It works for some people, but it's not a practical thing for this country. So she, like I said, is a part of every major decision the Biden administration made. And any honest person should be able to tell you that our lives are worse under Biden than they were under Trump, even if he was the racist that this guy is going to claim he was. So anyway, let's see what I wrote back to Mr. BC. I said, when Joe said he didn't want his kids growing up in a racial jungle, that didn't bother you. When he and Kamala said voter ID is racist, implying that Black folks can't get ID, and they've said this on multiple occasions, that didn't bother you. When he said you ain't Black, that didn't bother you. When Kamala kept a Black man on death row and ignored evidence that eventually freed him, that didn't bother you. Yeah, she did that. When she locked up Black men for smoking weed, but claimed she smoked weed in college while listening to Tupac and Biggie, even though neither of them had recorded anything, that didn't bother you. I believe she sat on the Breakfast Club with that lie. Here this woman is, is going all over town and all over the country bragging about how she was Attorney General of California and how she was for law and order. But then as she tries to placate and pacify and bamboozle certain sections of society, she said, oh, well, I was sitting in college smoking weed. You know, although she locked up people for smoking weed. And then she lies and says she was listening to Biggie Smalls and Tupac Shakur in college when them jokers wasn't even recording nothing. They're probably still in school or whatever when she was in college. Why would a person lie like that? Why would a person say they work for McDonald's during the summer when McDonald's says they have no record of it? Why would a person say that they had to cook so many greens that they cooked them in their bathtub? Same person that said all kinds of weird stuff. Like people in the rural areas can't get to a Kinko's. They can't, you know, get their information photographed in order to get ID. And like I say, the mere idea of saying you cannot get voter ID is repugnant. That's saying that you're stupid, ignorant, and you need to be cared for. At the same time, what it's doing, and if you just look at what's going on around you, these people want these illegals to be able to vote. And many of these illegals are signing up to vote right now illegally. In California, it's against the law. They just enacted a new law where their demonic governor Newsom signed saying it's illegal to ask for voter identification. Why would you do that? Why? Because they want the illegals to vote. And they want them to vote for Democrats because they want perpetual power. They don't care if elections are stolen. That doesn't bother them. If they cared about things like that, they wouldn't let the multi-millions of these people come into the country because they believe that the more they come in, the more they can get to vote Democrat, the more they can stay in power and replace people that have woke up and aren't woke anymore, if you understand the pun. Anyway, I said, all of it bothers me. This is what I was telling Mr. BC. The black two-parent family was 75 to 80% before LBJ's Great Society. Daniel Patrick Moynihan, a Democrat senator during that time, wrote a paper on the situation of the black family. And he was outlining the fact that he believed that the 25% of black single-parent homeowners or single-parent, two-parent households was dangerous. At that time, like I said, between 75 and 80% of black families that had children consisted of two parents. Only 25% consisted of one. He thought that was dangerous and the government should take steps to help fortify the black family. Well, he was denigrated by Democrats, and he was denigrated by some Republicans, and he was denigrated by folks in the civil rights movement. Just about everybody denigrated him because no one wanted to accept what was going on or deal with it. Subsequently, LBJ's massive family destroying great society made a gigantic welfare state, particularly destroying the black family. And the idea was, instead of lifting up the family, helping the man get stable so he can support his family, they made a matriarchal society by kicking the man out the house, giving money to the wife or the mother to watch the children. So she would get money from the government as long as there was no man in the house. And if she happened to get more children, I guess miraculously, since the husband was gone, the government would give her more money. Well, it seems like anybody with any sense would see that this was a recipe for disaster. But either folks didn't have enough sense then, or maybe the recipe for disaster is exactly what they wanted to happen. Because now the black two-parent family household sits at about 27%. That is amazing. The reverse of what Daniel Patrick Moynihan was dealing with, what he was trying to enlighten the country that was going on. And unlike then, now, none of these folks talk about it. You don't get Democrats to talk about it at all. Now, some Republicans will talk about it, but the Democrats, they ignore it. And the Black Democrats, they're more brain dead than anybody. It's like talking to a wall. They ignore it too. But that is what happened. And that is what's happening now. And now we're reaping the negative benefits of LBJ's great society. I'll continue. Now it is 27%. Blacks were at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder, and 60 years later, we are still at the bottom of because of following the Democrat Party. You follow them, and I'm done with them. So I gave Mr. BC a short history lesson, which I could substantiate with documentation at any time, on the condition of the Black family following the Democratic Party. Like I said, 60 years ago, Black people were at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder because we were following Democrats. And 60 years later, we're still at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. And they expect us to continue to follow Democrats. Now, wasn't it Einstein that said that you're doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results is insanity? Whether he said it or not, it is insanity. I, for one, quit following the Democrat Party some time ago, and I would hope other folks do as well. Let's see what Mr. BC's response to that was. Well, Mr. BC had a lot to say. Your leader, Donald Trump, a convicted felon, a traitor, a fake Christian, a dangerous autocrat, a cheat, a bigot who cheated on every wife he had, a criminal who stole U.S. classified documents, a fictitious great white hope who makes claims of saving suburban women, a bigot who cheated on all his wives. I thought he already said that. Yeah, he did up there in the third paragraph, who cheated on every wife. So I guess he said it again, who cheated on all his wives, a man embraced by Klans groups, white supremacies, and Nazi groups, a man who attempts to get his followers to believe that America is a trash country without him being elected. What the F you think this senile racist bigot going to do, you or, I think he meant for you, or for any other Black man like you, or America as a whole, my brother. I think he doesn't like Trump. Now, there's a lot to digest here. Let me just peer through some of this before I send you back what my response was. Okay, a convicted felon. I'm not going to rehash all the nonsense on these warfare cases. We'll just see what happens. Say the cases were true. None of it had anything to do with him being president. Had to do with the job he did as president. Except for them trying to make up this crap on January the 6th, you know, trying to say that he instigated a riot when he didn't. A traitor. Okay, I don't know what the heck that's supposed to be. If anybody's supposed to be a traitor, he didn't get money from Russia, although they had for 2.5 years said Russia, 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 claiming that Russia helped put him in office. My understanding is it was Biden who got, $1 million from Russia, got money from Ukraine, and millions of dollars from China, which nobody's talking about. A fake Christian. I don't know what BC is or if he's anything. I've seen recent posts where Trump has said that he's a Christian, that he gave his life to the Lord. I believe I remember hearing that when he went to his inauguration, he asked for prayer before they even went there. I saw where he said publicly that that America needs a great leader, and it wasn't him. There's a power higher than him. Now, it takes arrogance for somebody to call somebody a fake Christian, unless that person that they're calling a fake Christian, you can demonstrate that they're fake, because Jesus said you will know a tree by its fruit. So, you know, people can call themselves whatever they want, but you will know the tree by their fruit. And this idea, just like the gentleman in the video was talking about, I guess BC's never did anything wrong. Now, I don't know about Trump and his wives and all this kind of stuff. But if there's no room for forgiveness for Trump, there's no room for forgiveness to Mr. BC. Unless, of course, he's perfect. And if he's perfect, that means he's JC and not BC. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A dangerous autocrat. A cheat. Okay, like I said, I deal with his wife. This stuff about classified documents, the documents he brought as home as president, he had the authority to declassify. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. But with the warfare, legal lawsuits trying to impend his ability to run for office, they prosecuted him anyway. The same people that prosecute him found stuff in Joe's garage. Stuff in Joe's garage that was put in there when Joe was in fact vice president and didn't have the authority to put it in there. And so this guy from the Justice Department says, well, Joe's too old and senile to prosecute. Yeah, he did it, but we're not going to prosecute him because he's too old and senile. He was too old and senile to do that, but they didn't kick him out of office. Why? Because they wanted to keep him there. They were hoping, I assume, that he could run over again and get reelected until he showed himself totally incapable of it. And now they're going with Kamala. But Joe had no authority to do what he did. And then he also found some, I believe, in his library or some kind of office in some school that he was affiliated with. But I'll be honest with you. I believe that all these presidents had classified stuff that they took home. All of them. And it wasn't a big deal, except for Trump, because everything's a big deal with Trump. Okay, let's get past the bigot who cheated on his wives, the man embraced by Klan groups and white supremacies. Joe Biden was friends with Byrd. Matter of fact, he eulogized Senator Byrd at his funeral. And Byrd was a Klansman from way back in the day. You know, a racist to the bone. But, you know, that doesn't matter because he's a Democrat. And when you're a Democrat, it doesn't matter. You can be a Klansman. You can be anything you want. You can say folks don't know the difference between you and them because if you ain't black, if you're a Klansman, if you're a Democrat, because the God of Democrats stands above everything. And whether somebody, some group embraces you, so you have no control over who says they like you. But like I said, what was his policies? And how was his policies to black people? A man who attempts to get his followers to believe that America is a trash country without him being elected. Well, that's interesting. He had the border pretty much sealed up, even though Democrats fought him every step of the way when he was president. They didn't want to give him any money to stop the border. Now, Joe and Kamala have let in maybe 10, 20 million illegals. We know that 13,000 of them are convicted murderers and 15,000 of them sexual deviants, probably rapists. We know that about 500,000 of them were convicted criminals. So you're talking about the country going to trash without him? Yeah, it has, Mr. BC. what the F do you think the senile racist bigot is going to do for you? I think you got your people mixed up. The senile racist was Joe. You know, the one that when he was running for president had a bunch of black kids sitting on his lap by some swimming pool, talking about, you know, he used to let kids rub the hair down his leg, you know, and that he loves kids sitting on his laps. And he had to learn about roaches. The same guy that said that he didn't want his kids growing up in a racial jungle. The same guy that said you can't go to a Dunkin' Donuts or a 7-Eleven unless you got a slightly Indian accent. You talking about racists? Give me a break. Racists don't bother you if they're a Democrat. I mean, right before the election, he told Charlemagne, well, if you don't know the difference between me and Trump, you ain't black. That didn't bother you at all. Did it? And it doesn't bother any black Democrat because you guys do what you're told. So, and I'll tell you later on what he did for black folks. Well, here's my response to Mr. BC. I see that none of those things I mentioned bother you. You are exactly the type of black man the Democrat Party depends on. One who will never think beyond how they want you to think, and will never question the damage they do to the people you say you represent. I haven't heard back from him yet. If I hear back from him, and he is one of those Democrats that love the twin gods of the Democrat Party, the god of blackness and the higher god, the Democrat god. They can do anything to him they want to. It doesn't mean squat. As long as it's done to them by a Democrat, they can be just as racist as the day is long. So anyway, now, like I said, these Democrats, just like Mr. BC, you know, they're pulling out all the stops. They're pulling out all the stops to try to get these black men to comply, men like me. But they know I'm not going to comply. They're trying to get the ones to comply, the ones that used to vote Democrat. You know, you got three different kinds, I think, what you got. You have the black man that ain't going to vote Democrat at all, which is me. You got the one that's going to vote that straight Democrat line no matter what. They can run over to his mama. You're going to still vote it. And then you got that person that's starting to feel, wait a minute, something ain't right here. These folks, they voted for Obama. They was hoping change, you know. And by the time Obama got out of there, Tavis Smiley, a black liberal economist, said that the blacks were at a worse financial situation than they were before Obama got in there, which they were. You know, people were, you know, they had all this hope and change, and things were bad. It didn't get any better. It got worse. And so you got folks that believed all that crap. Many of them fell away then. A few woke up, a few did. And then they got the Trump years where things got better by a large margin. But he was denigrated throughout the whole time. The whole time, the press, everything, talked about him like he was a dog. And many people don't think. Unfortunately, there's many people whose memories are short. So they voted for Biden. Biden, the man that never campaigned. You know, Trump, during his second run, got between 74 and 75 million votes, more votes than any president, not only in their second run, but their first run. But miraculously, Joe Biden, who was in office for some kind of office almost 50 years, and they never did anything except for the crime bill that locked up black men, supposedly got 81 million votes. You know, Obama only got 64 million. And he's still running the show behind the scenes, some people think. But supposedly Joe got 81 million votes. And by some accounts, folks think he's a worse president than Jimmy Carter. How did he get 81 million votes? Well, I'm not going to get into that. I think the election was stolen. But we're not going to talk about that. We want to talk about how these black men want to shame black men like me. They drug out one of my heroes of the 80s in basketball, Irvin Magic Johnson. Let's look at what the Magic Man had to say.
Now, there's a lot of black men in here, and I don't mean to, you know, not talk to other people, but this is important. Our black men, we got to get them out to vote. That's number one. Kamala's opponent promised a lot of things last time to the black community that he did not deliver on. And we got to make sure we help black men understand that. So that's why I'm here, to make sure I help black men understand. First, get out and vote, and then vote for the next president of the United States, Kamala Harris.
Well, Mr. Johnson, that's a joke. Too bad he didn't list off those promises that weren't kept. I want to get into some of those promises, but not yet. I want to show a couple of more little short videos. I want to show you a video by a man named Clarence Henderson. And this video was in 2000 when Trump was running for re-election. See, the Democrats love to drag out these rich people. These folks with all the money that ain't suffered, that ain't went through nothing, you know, and try to get them to talk to the average person about how they're supposed to have their life. You very seldom see them bring out an average person and someone that can speak to how well things are or aren't or weren't. What Mr. Henderson said is well worth reviewing.
Greetings, my fellow Americans. I am Clarence Henderson. There have been movements that have changed the course of history. Among the most extraordinary was the Civil Rights Movement. 60 years ago, segregation was legal and enforced. The simple act of sitting at a lunch counter could lead to physical harm, jail time, or worse. I know from personal experience. Walking into Woolworth's department store on February 2nd, 1960, I knew it was unlike any day I'd experienced before. My friends had been denied service the day before because of the color of their skin. We knew it wasn't right. But when we went back the next day, I didn't know whether I was going to come out in a vertical or prone position, in handcuffs or on a stretcher, or even in a body bag. By sitting down to order a cup of coffee, we challenged injustice. We knew it was necessary, but we didn't know what would happen. We faced down the KKK. We were cursed at and called all kinds of names. They threatened to kill us, and some of us were arrested, but it was worth it. Our actions inspired similar protests throughout the South against racial injustice. And in the end, segregation was abolished, and our country moved a step closer to true equality for all. That's what actual peaceful protest can accomplish. America isn't perfect. We're always improving. But the great thing about this country is that it's not where you come from, it's where you're going. I was born on what some would call the wrong side of the tracks. I don't even have a birth certificate. I never attended an integrated school, and am the only one out of my immediate family who graduated from college, an HBCU. I'm a military veteran and a civil rights activist. And you know what else? I'm a Republican, and I support Donald Trump. If that sounds strange, you don't know your history. It was the Republican Party that passed the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery. It was a Republican Party that passed the 14th Amendment, giving black men citizenship. It was the Republican Party that passed the 15th Amendment, giving black men the right to vote. Freedom of thought is a powerful thing. There are Americans, voters all over the country, who media is trying to convince to conform to the same old Democratic talking points. You know what that'll get you? The same old results. Joe Biden had the audacity to say, if you don't vote for him, you ain't black. Well, to that, I say, if you do vote for Biden, you don't know history. Donald Trump is not a politician. He's a leader. Politicians are a dime a dozen. Leaders are priceless. The record funding Trump gave HBCUs is priceless, too. So are the record number of jobs he created for the black community, and the investment he drove into our neighborhoods with tax incentives and opportunity zones. And so are the lives he restored by passing criminal justice reform, where 91% of the inmates released are black. These achievements demonstrate that Donald Trump truly cares about black lives. His policies show his heart. He has done more for black Americans in 4 years than Joe Biden has done in 50. Donald Trump is offering real and lasting change, an unprecedented opportunity to rise, a country that embraces the spirit of the civil rights movement of the 60s, a place where people are judged by the content of their character, their talents and abilities, not by the color of their skin. This is the America I was fighting for 60 years ago. This is the America Donald Trump is fighting for today. Let's all join in this fight for re-electing President Trump on November 3rd. Thank you.
I mean, that was 4 years ago. I believe it's November the 5th this time. And we need all hands on deck. We don't need anybody being complacent. We don't need anybody thinking, oh, well, they got it in the bag. No. It's like this is fourth down, the fourth quarter, 2 seconds left on the clock, and we got one shot for the end zone. We need our best play. We need everybody out there because these people are serious. These people are serious about power. That's why they don't care about allowing millions of people that belong, I mean, in their own countries, in our country, because they want power. And if you have power, the money will follow. Everyone that has power doesn't have to go trying to find money. Money comes to you. It's like a magnet if you have the power. Because all these folks want money. I mean, it's strange if you think about it. What was Obama? He was a community organizer. Then he became a state senator. Then I think he was a senator for like 2 years. Then he become president for 8 years, and now he's a multimillionaire with homes on Martha's Vineyard in Chicago and Hawaii. That money didn't come from his government job. Joe's got all this money. The Clintons got money up the yin-yang. And Republicans. See, Trump had his own money. But a lot of you folks that think Trump's a racist don't know. Trump donated every dime of his salary when he was president. He didn't keep any of it. He's given up money. He In fact, he lost money and revenue to serve this country. But people like, what's that guy, the turtle, the guy who's in charge of the Republican Party, he got money. There's a lot of these people. There's a lot of rhinos that got paid. So I'm not going to sit over here and say that was all Democrats. But these people that's been in office for 20, 30 years, I mean, it's amazing how many of them just get wealthy. I heard that AOC, who's only been in office, 4 to 6 years, worth like $25 or $30 million. How is that possible? How is that possible? The swamp is deep, wide, sticky, and nasty. I want to show you Mr. Obama. They brought out him now also to try to convince black men that they need to vote for Kamala. Let's look at Mr. Obama.
I'm going to go ahead and just say speak some truths, if you don't mind. Because my understanding, based on reports I'm getting from campaigns and communities, is that we have not yet seen the same kinds of energy and turnout in all quarters of our neighborhoods and communities as we saw when I was running. Now, I also want to say that that seems to be more pronounced with the brothers. So if you don't mind, just for a second, I'm going to speak to y'all directly.
He's going to speak to the brothers. Just like what a magistrate, I'm going to talk to these black men. So there's a concerted effort to put the emphasis on the black man. I ain't gonna talk to the brothers. This dude right here is a beta male. This dude has always been a beta from the time I've gotten to know about him. This dude went into office. I'll never forget. A dear friend of mine cried when Obama was elected. I never voted for Obama. You know, I paid attention to what the man stood for. You know, there's a lot of black people that voted for him just because of this pigmentation. I paid attention to what the man said he believed in. And he believed in killing babies in the womb. You know, and he lied and said he believed that marriage was between one man and one woman. So I wasn't going to vote for him. You know, my vote has to line up with my biblical values. So, and this is the guy that destroyed marriage in America. In my opinion, he's the most dangerous president we've ever had because he stopped DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. And then he put in Supreme Court justices that helped destroy marriage between one man and one woman. This guy put a transgender bathroom in the White House. And by the way, I know that Trump don't care about the homosexual things. He tolerates that. That's why I tell people, my position is to vote for the most biblical person or party. Anything that's standing closer to a biblical worldview versus something that is standing antithetical. And right now, it's obvious. But let's listen to some more of what Mr. Obama has to say.
And say that when you have a choice that is this clear, when on the one hand you have somebody who grew up like you, knows you, went to college with you, understands the struggles and pain and joy that comes from those experiences?
I think he's lying his teeth off. He's trying to say, well, you know what? She's black. She went through the stuff that you had to go through. This woman, she lived in Canada growing up. For the most part, she talks about how she was in a middle class, which she wasn't. She didn't struggle. And this dude didn't struggle either. He lived in either Hawaii or Indonesia. He wants to come off as black. I remember when he was at an NAAC meeting talking about take off your house shoes and put on your marching shoes. You know, he acts black when it's convenient. You know, yeah, he's half black or his pigmentation's half black. And his mama was white and his daddy was an African. So that makes him an African-American. But he plays the role. He didn't grow up in the hood. Hell, he's building his library in the hood in Chicago and nobody wants it because it's in the way of black folks. He, you know, but he want to play this role. Well, she somebody that understands you. What has she ever done for black folks other than lock them up?
Was had to work harder and do more and overcome and achieves the second highest office in the land and is putting forward concrete proposals to directly address the things that are vital.
That's another lie. She hasn't put through nothing concrete. She talks word salad. She talks flim flam. Oh, we're going to do this. And what does she say? An opportunity economy, whatever the hell that is, you know, and we're going to have a $25,000 for first time homeowners. Where does that money come from? I've had enough of him. I got to let him go. He's just talking the same Obama nonsense. Hold on a second. Let me get him out of there. She didn't say anything that's going to help folks. She hasn't participated in anything other than locking black folks up and making their lives harder when she was attorney general and as vice president. Now, let's talk about what Trump did when he was president before we go. Let's talk about when Mr. BC was talking about the lifeboat that he ain't going to pull us up on. Okay, President Trump signed the Historic First Step Act. The First Step Act was an act that helped get folks out of prison that was locked up behind Joe's prison bill that he pushed over there. The only thing he's really significantly known for that he's proud of that was signed by Bill Clinton. 90% of those who had their sentences reduced are black. The First Step Act shortens mandatory minimum sentence for nonviolent drug crimes. The law allows offenders sentenced under racially motivated the law allows offenders sentenced under racially motivated mandatory minimums to petition for evaluation. President Trump launched the Ready to Work initiative, which helps release prisoners gain meaningful employment. He didn't just get them out. He tried to get them set up so they can get going. President Trump has proposed a Second Step Act to partner with corporate America to create opportunities for former prisoners to rejoin society. This is what Trump did. Black Americans are seeing unprecedented levels of economic success with record lows, unemployment rates, more job and higher incomes. We're talking about around 2020. Over 1.4 million Black Americans have found a job between President Trump's election in February of 2020, black poverty reached a historic low in 2019. You see that? Hold on a second. Let me see. Did I go too far? Hold on. Make sure I didn't. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Trying to line up with what I have here. Say blah 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 blah. President Trump's designated 8,760 opportunity zones that are projected to spur $100 billion in private investments and minority communities. Now, this stuff, I mean, opportunity zones is where they were given incentives for businesses to come into minority communities specifically to grow and to help the people in those communities get jobs. The Trump administration established a fund to deploy $1 billion in capital funding for minority-owned businesses through the Commerce Department. President Trump called on Congress to pass school choice legislation to expand educational opportunities for all America's children, especially those in the nation's inner cities. See, the Democrats don't want this. The Democrats is bought and paid for by the teachers' union. They keep their children in private schools. Those, I'm talking about the politicians in Washington. And the Democrats have got money to put their kids in private schools. Sure, you know, whether you're white or black. But they want the public schools to remain open and they want kids to stay in there. The Baltimore City schools, they're not educating anybody. They got schools in Oregon that says they're not having graduation requirements because they say that those requirements are racist. If you had school choice, parents could put their kids in the school of their choice so they can grow. Look at it this way. If you work all week and you go to the store to buy some food and the meat at the store that you go to is no good, what are you going to do? You're going to go find you a better store to get your meat in. You're not going to keep going to the same store. And if the store that you get your meat in, or we're getting your meat in, wants us to buy, they're going to start getting better meat or they're going to go out of business. Well, that should be the same thing with schools. And parents should have the opportunity to put their children wherever they want. But the Democrats don't want that. President Trump's 2020 budget called for $500 million in federal funding for school choice. And in 2018, he signed legislation increasing school funding by $42 billion. I'm sure that didn't pass. The Trump administration proposal, the Educational Freedom Scholarship and Opportunity Act. President Trump restored funding and increased investments in historically black colleges and universities by 14%. The Trump administration provided more than $500 million in loans to HBCUs through the capital financing program. President Trump worked with HBCUs to project $80 million in Title III carryover funding. President Trump signed the Future Act into law, which permanently funds HBCUs and simplifies the FAFSA application. He said that they used to go to the White House every year, and he could say, why do you guys keep coming back? He said, because they make us come back every year. So he put it in writing that they didn't have to come back every year to get the money. But Mr. BC and folks like that want to say that he's racist. And that's what, and see, the news media, they're all part of it. The media whores, as I call them. Because they don't care. These people pretend like they care, but if they can get you focused on the wrong thing, you stay in the middle of crap and don't realize it. In 2018, President Trump signed a budget deal which forgave more than $300 million in debt owed by four HBCUs, impacted by natural disasters, and provided $10 million in loan payment deferments for schools that face financial difficulties, including HBCUs. President Trump worked with Congress to lift the ban on Pell Grants on summer classes. This man was working to help black folks all through his time. The lowest unemployment, You know what the lowest unemployment means? The lowest unemployment means the highest employment in history. That's what it means. Trump was the best president the black man has seen since Abraham Lincoln. And what did the black man get from Obama? Nothing. The homosexuals, the sodomites, they got stuff from Obama. What did the black man get from Biden and Harris? Nothing. And if you think you're going to get something from Harris now, you're fooling yourself. So I advise all black men, pay attention. Don't vote for that woman. You know, like Obama wanted to say later on, I think they got a problem with voting for a woman. Number one, men should lead, but that's another story. It ain't about voting for a woman. It's about voting for the best person to get the job done. We need somebody that's going to stand up and be recognized as a leader, not somebody that mumbles and fumbles and talks sideways and isn't direct. Like him or not, Trump is direct, and the world respects Trump. It's time for us to respect him. Vote Trump 2024. Everybody needs to get out there and tell your friends to get out there, because this may be the last time. If we don't, this is Sam Tolley, and I'm out.